I can take your Bibles now and turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at verse 31. And then take your Bibles and turn back over to Joshua chapter 2. So we're going to be looking at these two places this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're going to see the account of this in Joshua chapter 2. And we have considered the faith of Moses. We have considered how Moses is a type of every believer. His faith is a picture of every believer, and that he forsook Israel. And he forsook Egypt and the pleasures of sin, choosing rather to suffer with the people of God. That's a picture of true faith. Rejecting our self-righteousness, rejecting the religion of this world, and choosing rather, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of this world. By faith he kept the Passover. True faith keeps the Passover in that Christ is the Lamb of God. We who believe in Him, we trust this, that He is our Passover Lamb. And all true faith goes through the Red Sea in verse 29. We read that. We saw that the sea is a picture of God's justice and how Christ by His offering has parted the sea of God's justice by which we walk through on dry ground. And then we see this now that in verse 30 last week we saw the faith that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. We saw that Jericho is a picture of the world, the lost religious world. And how the believers are pictured by Israel marching around Jericho. And we know this, that the marching and the blowing of the horns is a picture of the gospel, preaching the gospel. We know this, once that last one is brought in, when that last saint is brought in, then this world and all its religion will crumble and fall. And God's people will be triumphant at last. Now, in verse 31, we're going to look at the faith of Rahab. The scripture says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, as we consider the faith of Rahab again, I want to remind you this chapter is what we call the Hall of Faith. And these patriarchs, these ones who went before us, they picture every aspect of true God-given faith. And Rahab is no exception. Now, the Lord, before the nation of Israel crossed into the Promised Land, you remember that He had given the nations of Canaan to His people, Israel. They were to inherit this land to be their own. Therefore, in Joshua chapter 2, now go over there, in Joshua chapter 2, we read that this chapter is concerning the account of Joshua sending the spies into Jericho. He sent them in there to spy out the land. And I'm going to give you a summation of this chapter so we get to the meat of it. These two men, they came, they might not have been very good spies. They were found out real quick. They abode at this one, Rahab's house. Rahab the harlot, and they were discovered. And when the king discovered them, he sent men to Rahab's house, inquiring of these men, but instead of giving them up, instead of handing them over to her king, she hid these spies and lied. She says, these men, oh yeah, there's some men came here, but they left. You need to go out and pursue them. And so they went away and she hid these spies. And the question is, why would Rahab risk her life for these men? These men that she had just met, Why would she risk her lives and forsake her own king for these men? Well, it tells us this in verse 9. Look at this. Look at what Rahab said. This is her reason. She said this unto the men. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint before you. For we have heard, now listen, she knows this, that they all are fainting. And why? Because we heard something. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We heard that. And this is what happened. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now this woman, as well as all the people of her city, heard of what God did for Israel. They all knew that God had given Israel the land. They all knew what He did to Egypt. They all knew what He did to Pharaoh and those other kings. Yet why was Rahab hiding the men? Why was she willing to forsake her people? Risk her own life to hide these men. One word. Here it is. Faith. Faith. She, unlike all of Jericho, heard the word. They all heard it. The only difference between Rahab and the rest of Jericho was this. She believed it. She believed the Word of God. Now today I'm going to preach to you the Word of God. I'm going to declare to you the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of you will hear of God's justice, of God's judgment. That's what they heard, wasn't it? They heard of God's just condemnation. They heard God was going to destroy them. I'm going to tell you that. Listen to me carefully. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. It shall surely die. I will tell you this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as these people of Jericho were cursed, so then is all who are not righteous before God. You are under the condemnation of God. If you are not as righteous as God Himself, you are under the curse of God. And when God comes, He swears this. Just as He destroyed Jericho, He will destroy all who are unrighteous. Listen to what He says of Jericho and all the nations of Canaan in Deuteronomy 7. The Lord said this. He said, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. In the day of God's judgment, when He comes, there will be no mercy. There will be no covenant of grace to be had. He will utterly destroy the wicked. Now I'll tell you this. If you are outside of Christ, if you are not righteous, this should strike fear into your hearts. It struck fear into the hearts of Jericho. They feared. There was no strength. She said, there's no strength, no more courage in any man here because of what we've heard. This should strike fear into your hearts. It should cause you to be like Jericho and melt. Let me ask you, do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that? Do you see the promises of God's destruction? Well, let me tell you this, so did Jericho. Jericho heard the same thing. And they feared. They feared. There was no courage in their hearts. But this did not save Jericho, and it won't save you. Knowing your guilt and knowing the judgment of God does not save you. Why? Because they didn't believe the Word of God. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it because they weren't like Rahab who sued for mercy. Rahab believed God's destruction was coming. Had they really believed it, they would have sued for mercy. Even so it is with a sinner who knows their sin, hears God's word. They hear the gospel that God is an elect people. God has chosen a people before the foundation of the world, spiritual Israel, and God has sworn to give them the land, give them heaven. The Word of God declares that Christ Jesus has redeemed His elect people by His blood. And only Israel shall be saved. Only the elect shall be saved. You got that? Hear that. That's the message they were hearing. That's the message Jericho heard. Israel's going to inherit the land. God's going to destroy you and give it to them. That's what they heard. You like that message? You are, if you're Israel, right? If you're Israel, you sure love that message. Yes, but Jericho hated the message. They despised it. They refused to surrender to the promises of God. Do you refuse to believe on Christ alone? To hold out for merits? To hold out on your strength of your own self-righteousness? If so, you like Jericho have shut out the gospel, and you like Jericho will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. There will, the walls of your self-righteousness will crumble on your head. You look at those walls of Jericho, you could measure them, you could feel them, you could touch them, you could say, look at this. This is strong. That's what men do with their works, don't they? They take them, they look at them, they say, look at my works. They're strong. They should stand before God's judgment. But just like those walls fell down, so will your self-righteousness. So will all your religious works cast down upon your head. But look now at this little text in Hebrews here, and you're going to see some hope. You're going to see some hope for citizens of Jericho. Why? Because Rahab was a citizen of Jericho, wasn't she? It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. She perished not with them that believed not. Here's the hope that not all Jericho died, not all the heathen were crushed, that were cursed, died. But there was one woman and her family whose wall did not fall flat, whose refuge did not fail. And that was this woman, Rahab, the harlot. What made her to differ? Why is it that that section of wall did not fall while the rest died? The simple truth is she believed the word of God. She said this, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know God will save Israel. I know God has given all things to Israel. She said, I know that. I believe that. And she said in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2, she said, I know this, that the Lord your God, He is God. By this, she's denounced her people. She's denounced herself. She's denounced her gods. and she's confessed, salvation is of Israel. Salvation's in Israel. And your God is God of heaven above and earth beneath. So this is the first illustration of true faith here. True faith, like Rahab, believes the word of God. True faith believes the word of God. She's heard it, but she, like everybody else, heard it. The difference is this. She believed it. She believed it. Now, the word of God, the gospel in Scripture, is often pictured as light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what? A light unto my path. The word of God is pictured as light. In 2 Peter 1, Peter, after testifying of that he heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. He said, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Peter said, I heard that voice. I heard him testify of his Son. But then he says this in 2 Peter 1:19. He says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Something more than just hearing voices or seeing signs. What's this more sure word of prophecy? It is the word of God. It's the thing you hold in your hands. This is a more sure word than if you heard a voice from heaven. Matter of fact, if you hear a voice from heaven and it does not coincide with this book, it's not of God. The more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed. Now, how do you take heed? As a light that shineth in a dark place. This world is a dark place. And this gospel shines as a light in the darkness. And listen, if you cannot understand this word, if you cannot perceive this word, you need to take heed to it more earnestly. Until it shines like the noonday sun in your heart. That's what he says. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a brilliant day star. This morning, you see the day star as you drove in. You look out the window, you see the effects of the day star. It's the sun. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Nothing is hid from it. Shines its light so bright. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate it. Don't you? When you stand outside and you just look up and you feel the warmth on your face. You look around this room and you can see things, can't you? Light is valuable to who? To those that can see. If you're blind, how valuable is light to you? Not at all. So is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's only valuable to those who see it. It's only received by, if you're blind and you cannot see it, it's not of any value to you. I like the way the apostle put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world had known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but it is written. Listen, this is our nature. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We knew nothing of election. We knew nothing of redemption. We knew nothing of his effectual calling. Why? We were blind. We were blind to it. We did not know it. But how is it that you now perceive it? How is it that you who believe now believe it? Paul says, but God hath revealed it unto us. It's the same thing that happened to Rahab. How did she know something different than anyone else? They heard the same message. But yet she believed it. How could she see it? The Spirit of God gave her sight. And so if you believe the Word of God, if you look at this, you see it's a light. It's a light that shines into the darkness. And in my heart, it shines so bright. How could you not understand this? How could you not perceive that this book is about Christ and Him crucified? From cover to cover, I see Christ, the day star. The light that shines out of darkness is Christ. He said, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. But what? They are they that testify of Me. This book is a light. And the only way to see it is if God reveals it to you. He says in another, Paul says in another place in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, we're not hiding it. I'm not hiding. When I stand up here, am I trying to hide anything from you? I want to preach this gospel as plainly and as simply as I can so nobody misunderstands what I say. I do this intentionally. I want you to understand what I'm saying. But I know this, I cannot make you see it. I cannot make you believe it. If you believe it, you believe it because God revealed it to you. The true faith believes the Word of God because God reveals it. What did He reveal to Rahab? He revealed first her end, her destruction. She heard that she was going to be destroyed along with all her people. Now they all heard that, but they didn't all believe it, did they? Now how could you tell the difference? Because they shut up the kingdom. They thought there was some hope of holding out. Jericho believed that if they just stood fast, they could resist God. And so it is with man. You will not surrender to the Word of God. You will not bow to the Lord Jesus Christ because you think you've got some hope. You still think you have something to offer God when you have nothing to offer God. When Rahab saw her end, what did she do? She pled for mercy. When a man sees his end, when God opens his eyes to justice and righteousness, that man will see he has none, no righteousness. Believer, you remember that when you found there was no escape and there was no hope for you? If you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to believe God's Word, you've got to believe that. You have to believe that you are the sinner. And the only hope for you is mercy. Mercy. She saw her need. Have you seen your need? This woman, what kind of woman was she? She was a vile woman. She was a harlot. She was under the curse of God, but now she had heard of God's promise to Israel. She had heard of God was giving them, gives His people the land, and she believed it. She believed how He delivered them from by blood. She believed that they were delivered through the Red Sea. She believed that God destroyed the people, their enemies. Behold, I tell you, God has promised His elect people to give them all spiritual blessings. Now what He said in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Have you considered this according as He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world? That He has purposed His people to be holy and without blame before Him. That in love He predestinated us to be the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Not by our merits, not by our works, but by Christ unto Himself according to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He had made us accepted. Who's accepted before? Israel is accepted before God. The elect are accepted before God. And Christ has come and redeemed them by His offering to God. He has made His elect holy and paid for all their sins provided a perfect righteousness for them. And God promises this to His elect people. None of them shall perish. None of them shall perish. They shall all come to repentance and believe on the Son of God. But how then is there hope for me? Was Rahab a child of Israel or a Gentile? By nationality, she was a Gentile. By nationality, she had no right to any of the promises of Israel. And so we too, by nature, are sons of Adam. How then is there hope for us? How can I know if of my election? How can I have any part with Israel? How can I be made fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light? Listen to me. The same way Rahab the harlot found mercy and was saved. Listen. By faith. By faith in the Son of God. By faith in the Son of God. For God had said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth and is baptized, what? Shall be saved. You must, in order to be saved, be like Rahab. You must not only hear the word, but believe it. Our Lord Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, He gave that statement, you must be born again. And He gave the experience of that. He said, the Spirit is the one that gives this new birth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof. You can't tell whence it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Then in John 3, verse 14, He gives us the means by which the Spirit uses. The preaching of the gospel. What does Jesus do? He preaches the gospel. Here's the gospel. Most people will tell you the gospel is John 3:16. That's not the gospel. The gospel is found actually in John 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You remember that those people of Israel murmured against God and they were bitten by those fiery serpents. And they cried unto God. And God said to Moses, take a brass serpent, put it on a pole, and stick it up. And God said, whosoever looks upon this shall live. Look and live. Look and live. Jesus says, even so. That was a picture of me. That's a picture of me. We, Israel, sinned against God. We, Israel, have been bitten by the serpent. The poison of sin runs through our veins. Death is imminent. But what's the message? Look and live. You know who looked at that serpent? Not just those who heard the word, but those who believed the word. This morning, I'll tell you, look to Christ. Now, you hear me. You hear me. Do you believe? If you believe, you look. If you believe your condition and your need, and you believe that that was the remedy, you would look. That's what true believers do. We look to Christ. He is the remedy for sin. He was made sin. That serpent, He made a serpent of brass. He made in the very image of the thing that bit them. So Christ was made sin for us and endured the justice of God. You know what could stand the fire? Brass. Put it under fire, it doesn't do anything to it. What happened to Christ? He endured the wrath of God in our stead. And listen, this is the manifestation of the power of God in the new birth. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth, What's the power of the God, of God in the new birth? What's the manifestation of the power of God in the new birth? It's not speaking in tongues. It's not doing good things. It's what? Faith. Whosoever believeth, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the question is, do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on Him who was lifted up? Do you believe on His perfect work of redemption? Do you see your condition and need and behold Christ as the only hope? Now listen, there are many who just answered, yes, yes, yes. I believe, I made a decision. People say that. They look back and they say, well, yeah, I made a decision. I accepted Jesus. You know, nowhere in this book, I've heard this recently, I accepted Jesus, or I crowned Him King of my heart. No, nowhere in this book does He ask you to accept Him. An acceptance is something of equals. You know, you can accept or reject something. You can take it or leave it, we say. Well, yeah, eternal life, I guess I'll take it. That's not the way it works. No. So people say that. I've been baptized. They look to something they've done. Now listen, you can do all these things and still not have true faith. There'll be many in that last day like Lot's wife. She enjoyed all the benefits of the church, didn't she? All the benefits of Abraham and her husband. But in the end, what? Her heart was still in Sodom. Many will be like Judas, who walked with the Lord for 3 years, did miracles, preached the gospel, and yet he himself was found out to be a devil. Many who profess faith in Christ will be like Demas, who preached the gospel for a while, but because he loved this world and the things in it, he forsook the gospel. Many will be like those stony ground hearers. They hear the word. They receive it with joy. But when trials come and tribulations come and persecutions come for the word, they fall away. Therefore, the scripture says this to you and me. Make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. If God has only chose the elect and Christ has only died for the elect, and these chosen and redeemed are only the sons of God, how may I know that my faith is genuine? That's important, isn't it? God says this, He'll try your faith. If you profess faith, listen, it'll be tried. God says this, I will bring a third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and try them as gold is tried. And this is their response. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. And this is what I'm going to say to them. You're my people. And they shall say, you are my God. You are my God. I do pray the Holy Spirit set forth faith, our faith, even now under a microscope. And I'm going to give you a few marks of this faith that Rahab had. Rahab perished not. Why? By faith she perished not with them that believe not. First of all, I want you to know who faith is given to. What type of people does God give faith to? What type of person was Rahab? You know, every time she's mentioned as Rahab, the harlot. Even after she was delivered, she was still Rahab the harlot. What type of people does God give faith to? He gives faith to sinners. Sinners. In Deuteronomy 7, God describes his people. He says, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Could you look at Israel and honestly say they were a holy people by looking at them? Hey, for a bunch of stiff-necked, rebellious, self-righteous, arrogant people. Yet God says this of them, they are a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people upon the face of the earth. Why would he do that? Why would he say that? He said, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. Matter of fact, you were the fewest. In another place in Ezekiel 36, he says, not for your sakes do I this. Speaking of the covenant of grace. Not for your sakes. I do this for my own glory. Why did God choose his people? He didn't choose them because they were the best. He didn't choose them because they were the most moral people upon the face of the earth. He did it out of sovereign love. He said, because the Lord loved you. Now, why did the Lord love you? Because the Lord loved you. That's the only reason he gives. It's sovereign love. Because the Lord loved you and because you would keep an oath he swore to your father. Two reasons God chose you and loved you. He loved you because he would. And he loved you because of a covenant he made with himself. He loved you because of a covenant he made for his own glory. The elect are not holy in themselves. The love of God in election of his people is not because of anything but his sovereign love and eternal covenant. And God's love and their election was only manifest by their redemption and their deliverance. Herein is the love of God. Not that we love God. But that he loved us. And what's the manifestation of that? He gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The manifestation of the love of God. Believer, how do you know God loves you? Can you see it in providence? I can't. Matter of fact, I feel more his anger in providence. The world is against you. The world hates your gospel. The circumstances don't seem to roll out well for the believer. It always seems to be painful and difficult. You're not going to tell God's love by providence and circumstances. How can you tell God's love? Look at the cross and see what he gave. The whole manifestation of love of God is that he sent his son into the world to save who? Who did he come to save? Who is faith given to? Only sinners. Only sinners is faith given to. I like that picture of Joshua the high priest. Remember that? In Zechariah chapter 3, Joshua the high priest stand there in those filthy garments. Remember, high priest is supposed to have white garments on. Not supposed to stand before God in filthy garments. But there he is. He's in filthy garments. Satan at his right hand, ready to accuse him before God. But before he can make one accusation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord standing there, rebuked Satan and said, is this not a chosen vessel? Have I not chosen Jerusalem? Is this not a brand plug from the... You know what a brand is? It's the dead stick in the middle of the fire. It's what it is. How much value is a dead stick? Pick up a dead stick, stick it in the ground, and wait for fruit. Y'all did some gardening, didn't you? Y'all did some gardening one time. It worked out about the same, huh? Put a dead stick in the ground. You're not going to get any fruit. Worthless. Anybody worthless? Listen, if you're worthless... There's hope. Take your place. You believe God's word concerning who you are. There's hope. There's hope for brands. There's hope for dead sticks. He He rebuked him. He said, this one's chosen. Shut up. You got nothing to say against this one. He's chosen. And Joshua was clothed with those filthy garments, stood before the angel of the Lord, and he said, take away those garments. Why? I have removed your iniquity from you. You who believe, listen to this. Jesus himself has removed your iniquity from you. Where is he? Where did he go? Took it on himself. God's justice had to be satisfied. And Christ removed your iniquity from you, bore it in his own body on the tree, and gave you his righteousness. This is what faith receives. He gives this to sinners. To sinners. He only saves sinners. Listen, true faith is only given to true sinners. As life is only given to the dead, mercy is only given to the guilty, grace is only given to those with no merit. Who obtains true faith? Only sinners. Second of all, true faith flees to Christ for forgiveness. This woman, when she heard of what God was going to do, what did she do? She hid these spies seeking what? What she want from them. Look at that, what she tells you. She says, I knew the terror of the Lord. I knew that God was going to give you this land. And in verse 12, she said, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that I have and deliver our lives from death. What did she want? She wanted life. What is the truth? What does a person who has faith want most? What does he need? He needs life. He needs to be saved. He needs to be delivered. So true faith recognizes its need and then finds it, seeking mercy. Mercy. True faith rejects our former life. In order to have mercy, in order to be a part of Israel, she had to reject everything else in her life. She had to reject her whole world. She had to reject her sin. She could no longer live as a harlot. And so she fled to these men. She sought mercy. And that's what true faith does. It flees to Christ for mercy. And shuts out the world. Remember that guy in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, when they were screaming at him to come back, begging him to come back, what did he do? He put his fingers in his ears and he ran saying, life, life, eternal life. Kept running. He ran away, rejecting his family, rejecting all that he had. This was the faith of Rahab, and this is the faith of a true believer. He sees his need and he sees Christ and he sues for mercy. And thirdly, true faith believes this. Only Christ is a sure refuge for our souls. Only Christ is a true refuge for our souls. After Rahab confessed, she rejected her people. Rahab pleads for mercy in verses 12 through 14. And is this not our plea? Show us kindness. Show us kindness. Show us mercy. And you remember what she did? She let down that scarlet thread, let those guys out. And they told her this. When we come back, you have this same scarlet thread hanging out your wall. And we take this city, we swear unto you this. We swear that no harm will come to anyone in your house. Remember, her house was on that wall. Her house was on the same wall as everybody else's house. I like what these men say. Look at this. I want you to see these men, what their answer was. And these men said to her, listen to this. Tell me if it's not the same thing as like Judah said for Benjamin when he was surety for him. He said, I'll be surety for the lads. Let me bear the blame if he returns not again. That's a picture of Christ, isn't it? Same thing these men said. Look at this. Our life for yours. Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And since she let them down by the cord. Our life for yours. Is this not what our Lord Jesus Christ says? My life for yours. My life for yours. And they also said, if someone comes, what verse is that again? Look at verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any man heard it. What does Christ say if any of his people lost? He said, let me bear the blame. He's surety. He's surety for his people. This is what true faith receives. It's what true faith believes. Is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Where did he go? They imputed them to Christ, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therefore, all true faith flees to him for a refuge. You see, if anybody outside got outside of that house, they would die with the rest. Listen to me. You who are in Christ, is there any other place you want to be? You suppose Rahab wanted to go anywhere else? No, she knew this was the only place of safety. And I know this, the only place of safety for sinners is in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you will be destroyed. All who are outside of Christ will be destroyed. Listen, but if you are in Christ, you are as safe as Rahab and her family on that wall. And what made the difference? The cord. What made the difference in Israel that night of Passover? Was the blood. Where was the blood? On the outside of the door. The firstborn could not see the blood. That didn't matter. God said, when I see the blood. Rahab had the cord outside the wall. It only mattered that Joshua saw it. It only mattered that Joshua saw it. And you know what happened? When they came and marched around the city, all the walls fell except one. Her house. All the walls of religion will fall except one. Jesus Christ. And in crucified, are you in Christ? Therefore, all faith, true faith, abides forever in the house. In other words, all true faith endures. Rahab, she saw who she was. She saw her need. True faith sees its need. There's a sinner. That's good, because God only gives faith to who? Sinners. What's the object of their faith? It is Christ and Christ alone. He's the object of our faith. You know, I don't have faith in my faith. I have faith in the object of my faith, Jesus Christ. And so true faith submits to him. True faith believes in him. True faith flees to him. True faith finds him to be a refuge for our soul. And true faith, listen, all who have true faith shall be saved. I'm going to read this out of Joshua chapter 6. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25. Verse 24, it says, "And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive." What's the true object of, what is the object of our faith? That Jesus Christ will save this harlot alive. I like that story of the huckster who went around the village saying, "I'm a sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all and all." Do you have true faith? Do you have the faith of Rahab? This is this: you will be saved alive. I have a dear friend pass away this last week. I know and have great confidence she is alive and well. I know when I think about it, I weep for me. I'm sad and I'm going to miss her. But I can't weep for long because she's not dead. She's alive and happy. Would you want to take that away? Would you want to bring her back to this? Oh, she's saved alive. That's what happened to you and me. Because of Christ, we'll be saved alive. Who? All who believe on Jesus Christ alone. All who abide in the house shall be saved. Pray God keep you in the faith, looking only and always to Christ. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Glenn, dismiss us in prayer, please.
I pray for you, not the Heavenly Father. We bow before you this day. We renounce in the righteousness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Him who loved us and that He sent for us. We bless you for your kindness and tender mercy for those that our Father, that you give to your darling Son before the world ever began to be redeemed by His precious blood. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us together this morning in this place to hear the gospel of your darling Son, Him who procured life for all those that you gave Him. Thank you for faith. Lord, it's not in us, but it's that you give them from you for us to live. And we thank you for it. We boast not in our sins, but we boast in that great work that you've done in redeeming sinners. Thank you all for your tender mercies. Thank you for this message. We bless you and praise you for it. That we once again have heard of our Redeemer who came to save, seeking to save that which is lost. We pray as we depart from this place that you keep your hand upon us. Be merciful to us. Cause us to look to Christ and lean upon you. We bless you for all that you do, for it's in His wonderful and precious name we ask these things. Amen.